If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to go, I think, to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. And this will be very simple, nothing complicated about this one. But we'll see how it goes. Isaiah, chapter number 9. While you're turning there, I'm going to put this wire inside my coat. Isaiah, chapter number 9. I want to read one verse in this chapter, and then we will give you a thought and get out of the way here in just a few minutes. Verse number 6, very familiar verse, maybe the most familiar verse in this chapter. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We look at this verse and we know without a doubt it's talking about no other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The first thing we notice in this verse, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born." We know that that took place in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. The Bible says, "For unto us a son is given." That took place at Calvary. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Amen. And then the Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulder. I believe this has not took place yet, but it will when he comes back to this earth and he establishes his kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth. Amen. And then the Bible goes on to give five different names for the Lord. And the first one that I want to deal with this morning, and it's the word Wonderful. The word Wonderful is one of the names that's given to the Lord. The word Wonderful means, according to Webster, it means that which causes wonder, or that which is marvelous, or that which is amazing. Amen. We think about his birth in this world, and we think about his entry, come through a virgin that's never been done before since. The virgin birth is something that you got to be right on. There are some things we can be wrong on and we're okay, but if you're wrong on the virgin birth, you'll never see heaven. Amen. Well, we think about that birth and we could truly say that it was certainly marvelous. It was wonderful. Not only that, but I think about his death. I think about his exit. Jesus said that man did not have the ability to take his life. He says, "I'll lay it down." On the cross, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He laid it down. And I think about his escape. Think about the resurrection. Jesus promised that 3 days after he would lay down his life, he said, "I'll raise up again." Pilate told the soldiers, said, "Make it as sure as you can make it." They made it pretty sure, but they didn't make it sure enough. 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. The word Wonderful, many times we use that word Wonderful as a way of an adjective. But here in this verse, the word Wonderful is not an adjective, it's a noun. Not only a noun, Brother Manny, it's a proper noun. Amen. I want to preach this morning for the next few minutes on this subject. Isn't he wonderful? Let me say number one this morning, he is wonderful in his name. Names are very important. Every name has a meaning. As I was studying, putting this together some time back, I came across something that told me in the Indian world when an Indian baby would be born, the father would look and the first thing that he would see is what he would name that little baby. It may be flying bird, it may be running flying bird or running whatever, but whatever he would see, that's what he would name that baby. There are several different names that we can find for the Lord as we go through the Word of God, and I'll share some of these with you. And I know that we've not scratched the surface, but I read in the Bible where he's called Advocate. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Amen, the Apostle of our profession. He's the arm of the Lord, the author and finish of our faith. He's the author of eternal salvation. He's the beginning of the creation of God. He's the beloved Son, the blessed and only potentate. He's the branch. He's the bread of life. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the chief shepherd, the Christ of God, the consolation of Israel, the cornerstone, counselor. He's dayspring. He's deliverer. He's the desire of all nations. He's the door. He's the elect of God, the everlasting Father. He's the faithful witness, the first and the last, the first begotten. He's forerunner. He's glory of the Lord. He's God. He's good shepherd. He's governor. He's the great high priest. He's the head of the church. He's the heir of all things. He's the holy child, the holy one of God, the holy one of Israel. He's the horn of salvation. He's the great I am. He's the image of God. He's Emmanuel. He's jealous. He's Jehovah. He's Jesus. He's the judge of Israel. He's the just one. He's king this morning. He's king of the Jews. He's king of kings, king of the saints. He's lawgiver. He's lamb. He's the lamb of God. He's leader. He's life. He's the light of the world, the lily of the valley. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's Lord of all this morning. He's the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the Lord our righteousness. He's a man of sorrows. He's mediator. He's messenger of the covenant, the mighty God, the mighty one, the morning star. He's the only begotten Son. He's our Passover. He's the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace. He's Prophet. He's Redeemer. He's the resurrection and life. He's the Rock. He's the Root of David. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's Savior. He's Shiloh. He's Son of the Blessed, Son of David, Son of God, Son of the Highest, Son of Man, Son of Righteousness. He's the True Light, the True Vine, the Truth. He's witness. He's the Word. He's the Word of God. He's wonderful to this morning in His name. Boy, I think about His name this morning. His name is to be precious. Amen. In fact, it's so precious that God said in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." It's a precious name, and we better be careful how we use it and treat it. I know this morning that the world, they have little to no regard for the name of the Lord. Sadly, Hollywood, the television networks, they have little to no regard for the name of the Lord. And sadly, many believers have little to no regard for the name of the Lord either. There used to be a time when professing Christians would be watching television. And when the name of the Lord would be blasphemed, it offended us to the point we would change the channel. But now it don't faze us no more. We continue to watch it. But His name's precious. Not only that, but His name is to be praised. In Psalm chapter 7, verse 17, "I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." In Psalm 18, verse 49, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." In Psalm 54, verse 6, "I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good." In Psalm 92, verse 1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." In Psalm 113, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord." In Psalm 135, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord." In Psalm 148, verse number 5, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." In Psalm 138, verse 13, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven." In Isaiah 25, verse 1, "I will praise thy name, for thou hast done many wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." I'm telling you, His name this morning is to be praised. Amen. Who's to praise Him? That's a good question. I know that the Bible teaches that a person that's not saved, they cannot worship God because they are spiritually dead. But praising the Lord is a different ballgame. The Bible says, "Let everything let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You see, this morning, you don't have to be spiritual to praise the Lord. You've just got to be breathing. Brother Ennis, from the drunk on the street corner to the most godliest of saints, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. He's worthy to be praised. I'm going to tell you something. If we can't praise Him in here amongst the people of God, it's very unlikely that you're going to do it outside. I'm saying His name this morning is to be praised. His name is to be prominent. Psalm 34 verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." In Isaiah chapter 12 verse 4, "And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted." Philippians chapter 2, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." There have been many, many names that's been given to man over the past 6,000 years. Sometimes in our travels, we may go to a convenience store. We may go out to eat, or we go to Walmart. And every place we go, Brother Ennis, the people have name tags. And sometimes we come across a name that we have never seen before. And I'm sure if we could give that individual a few moments to tell us about that name, I'm sure there's an interesting story behind the name that was given to him. But I'm going to tell you, there's a name that surpasses all names. Amen. There's a name, listen, it goes beyond, it goes above every name that's ever been given. And it's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name this morning is to be prominent. He's wonderful in His name. His name is to be powerful. Psalm chapter 118, verse 10. "All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them." In Psalm 124, verse number 8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Psalm 135, verse 13, "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever." In Proverbs 18, verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." In 1 Samuel 17, verses 43 through 45, "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." Goliath, he was big, he was mean, he was bad, he was ugly. But Goliath was no match for God, no match whatsoever. The fight was over before it started. Well, that name is to be powerful. I'll tell you something else about His name. His name this morning is to be promised. Well, there's some precious promises associated with the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13. "For whosoever." I like the word whosoever. Amen. It means you and me is what it means. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Brother Ennis, as an 8-year-old little boy, I did that. You know why I know I'm saved? Because God said, if you'll do that, I'll do this. I did that. God did this. I'm saying, what a precious promise that we have associated with His name. But there's another promise I found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. According to that verse, brother, it is every knee is going to bow. You're going to bow. You'll do it here or you'll do it later, but you're going to bow. Amen. Boy, I begin to think there's going to come a day President Obama's going to bend his knee. And with his tongue, President Obama will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, let me hit the other end of that one, just in case somebody got mad because I said President Obama. About 2 years ago, we had a Mormon that was running for president by the name of Mitt Romney. There will come a day that Mitt Romney will bow his knee. He will bend his knee. And with his tongue, Mitt Romney will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, I think about Ted Turner, a billionaire atheist that lives in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm telling you what, he may mock God, but there's going to come a day that Ted Turner will bend his knee and with his tongue he will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Boy, his name is to be promised. He's wonderful in his name. I'll not give you the rest of it, but number two, he's wonderful this morning, not only in his name, but he's wonderful in his fame. You realize the fame of the Lord Jesus has continued to spread for 2,000 years. And I'm going to tell you how far it's went. It's went so far that the Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Do you realize when we get to heaven, there are going to be people there from nations that we have never heard of? I hope you ain't got a problem with that. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't just going to be white people in heaven, friend. I'm going to, amen. I tell you, it's going to be people from every nation in this world. He's wonderful this morning in his fame. But number three, and I'm done, he's wonderful in his aim. The Bible said in Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. I love to read about the miracles in the Bible. I love to read about where he touched the blinded eyes, but how he touched those ears that were deaf, how he made the dumb to speak, how he made the lame to walk, how he cast out demons, how he raised the dead. But that's not why he came. He came for one purpose, and that's to seek and to save that which was lost. Wonderful in his aim. You remember when he went to Samaria? He said, "I must needs go through Samaria." There was a woman at the well that was lost. Brother Ennis, he knew exactly where that lady was going to be at. He went exactly to where she was at. He's wonderful in his aim. Well, I think at the time he went into, I think it was Jericho. Well, the crowd was there. There was a man that wanted to see the Lord, but he had a small problem because he was not tall. He was short. He says, "If I'm going to see him, I've got to climb up in this tree." And up the sycamore tree he went. And when Jesus came into Jericho, it's almost like he looked past the whole crowd and found Zacchaeus and says, "Zacchaeus, come down." He was wonderful in his aim. Then there's that maniac of Gadara. Well, here's a man that's full of the devil, running around in a cemetery naked, cutting himself with stones. They, no doubt people were scared of him, but Jesus was not. And Jesus went to him and saved him. He's wonderful in his aim. I remember, I guess it's been about three and a half years ago, we were in a meeting in Statesville, North Carolina. And on Friday night, the preacher that preached a message on God's final roll call. There was a young lady that had been singing for that revival meeting every night. Her mom and dad thought she was saved. The church, brother Ennis, thought she was saved. But I'm going to tell you, there's a God in heaven that knew that young lady had never been saved. And that night, the Holy Spirit spoke to my daughter's heart. And she responded. A year and a half ago, the same church in Statesville, North Carolina. On Friday night, the preacher preached a message, "If heaven don't get you, hell will." There was a young man that had sang for that revival meeting all week long. Mom and dad thought he was saved. The church thought he was saved. But God knew he wasn't. And on Friday night, God passed in that service and spoke to Seth's heart.
Amen.
And my son Seth stepped out and trusted Christ.
Amen.
God never goes to the wrong person. A preacher, there's a responsibility on the part of man to respond. Sometimes man does not respond, but God never goes to the wrong person. He's wonderful in his aim. Think about where you were at.
Yeah.
A world of 7 billion people. But on that particular occasion, God came to exactly where you were at.
Amen.
He's wonderful in his aim. Isn't he wonderful, Pastor? I'm done.